are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Tonight's game against the Dallas Mavericks will be just the second game that the Wolves have played since last Wednesday. They somehow went through a stretch of one game in 7 days in the middle of the season. So it'll be good to have some actual basketball to talk about. Today we are definitely going to focus on the tall task that the Wolves have in hand tonight in Dallas as they take on the 14-6 Mavericks. And we'll talk a lot about that matchup, a lot about Luka Doncic, of course, and then just a quick peek ahead at what's upcoming and what we can expect to see out of the Timberwolves in this game. The Mavs have won four straight and are fourth in the Western Conference. And at this point, it certainly feels like the Mavs are part of that clear top tier in the Western Conference. I mean, you have the Lakers at 18-3, the Clippers at 16-6, and the Nuggets at 13-5, and then the Mavs are 14-6. So you've got four teams that have six losses or less. The Rockets just got beat by the Spurs in overtime on Tuesday night. They're 13-7. I would probably include them in that top tier of five. And to this point in the season, the Utah Jazz have been disappointing and are just 12-9. So they're really only a game ahead of the Wolves and tied in the loss column. So I would look at the top tier being those top five, with the Rockets kind of on the fringes of the top four, I guess, within the Jazz belonging to that next tier that really there isn't. I mean, it's everybody else except for the absolute worst teams like the Warriors and the Pelicans and the Grizzlies, even though the Wolves have lost twice to Memphis. But I think then you go Jazz, Timberwolves, Suns, Kings, Thunder, Blazers, and I would still include the Spurs in that next tier of teams that are going to be fighting for the bottom three playoff spots. Jazz, Timberwolves, Suns, Kings, Thunder, Blazers, Spurs are separated by only 3.5 games from Wolves to Spurs. The Wolves have the tiebreaker against the Spurs, which is great. They've also already lost to the Suns. They play the Thunder for the first time this Friday. Still haven't played the Kings or the Blazers somehow. But the Wolves actually sit in a fairly good spot if you consider Towns missed a couple games, Wiggins missed 3 games. They've been banged up, and they have lost twice to Memphis. I mean, if you take those losses out of things, they would be basically tied with the Rockets for fifth in the West. So point differential isn't where they want it to be, but to be part of that second tier of playoff contenders, they're still outperforming expectations, at least in terms of what many of the pundits expected, as well as Las Vegas preseason with that 35.5 win total projection. They're on pace right now to win roughly 41-42 games, which probably still won't be enough for the playoffs in the West. But if that whole second tier of teams just beats up on each other enough, perhaps it will be. At this rate, I guess the team that's in eighth is 9-10. So who knows? I could have been wrong about that all along. The Wolves might win those 42-43 games I projected and still squeak into the playoffs, which would be great. All right, so our preview today will basically start and finish with Luka Doncic, which you maybe could have expected, given just how good he's been so far this season. He's probably been one of the league's three, or not probably, he has been one of the league's best three or four players so far this year. You look at it really by any measure who the best players in the league have been. The top of the list is James Harden, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, and that's probably your top three. I mean, Giannis is in the mix too. So I guess I'd probably call it a top four with Giannis. And then that next tier of players is LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns. Those guys have probably been the next best three players in the league overall. There's been some surprise guys that have surprised in bigger roles, like Montrezl Harrell, certainly. But I think you'd probably say the top four in some order, and I'm not saying it's this order because I think we're 20 games in, so it's weird to get really granular in ranking these guys. So that's why I like the tiers thing. But Harden, Doncic, Giannis, and Anthony Davis are in that top tier, followed by LeBron, Karl Anthony Towns, and Jimmy Butler, I guess, in that second tier of guys. Clearly Luka Doncic has made a leap. I mean, he was really good last year, rookie of the year, obviously was a really good player, but a lot has changed from last year to this year. So we'll get a little bit into that here in a minute. as we get a little bit deeper into the preview, to be sure, because I think, like I said, everything starts and ends with Doncic. The rest of the Mavs roster has been really good, but there isn't a second star on this team. And I don't want to get too into like their long-term, you know, what my prognosis would be for them long-term. But I think that's something that could haunt them as they start to play teams that are more focused defensively and more disciplined defensively. The Mavs don't really have that 1B to Luka's 1A, but I guess that's not for us to worry about in this matchup. All right, so I guess the next thing we'll do is we'll really dive into Luka and just how good he's been and how the Wolves might try and slow him and the Mavs down, and then we'll talk about the matchup itself at large. But first, our friends from Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go and can't visit Audible right now, you can find this and all other offers from Lockdown sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. It's lockedonpodcast.com/offers to find our Audible deal as well as all other offers from our sponsors here at Locked On. Okay, I'd like to get a little more in depth on just how good Luka has been, and I also want to clear up there. I had written an article for Dunking with Wolves before the season, when those different player ranking lists that come out when there was a I forget which list it even was. I think it was the SI list had Luka Doncic ranked ahead of Karl-Anthony Towns in terms of the league's best players. It was the ESPN list. And I on Dunking with Wolves, I wrote an article that just kind of ripped that ranking and said there by no measure is Luka Doncic better than Karl-Anthony Towns. I stand by the article for a couple of reasons. One, based on last year, it wasn't close. Luka Doncic was not better than Karl-Anthony Towns. And those lists are always based on the previous year of results and a little bit of projecting for the upcoming season. It didn't make any sense to rank him ahead of Towns. Secondly, we're 20 games in, and yeah, I think it's probably fair to say Luka's been better than Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, he's led his team to a better record, and he's been better based on a lot of metrics. He's been doing more on the court in multiple facets, but that doesn't mean that he is for now and forever a better player than Karl-Anthony Towns. It's really close, and we're 20 games in. Towns has also been unbelievable, so he would still be in the MVP conversation if it wasn't for Doncic having even less in the way of, he doesn't have a dynamic number two like Towns has in Andrew Wiggins. His team has been better. So all that to say, I think Luka Doncic is unbelievable. And I think it's fair to say he's been better so far this year than Towns. Although I think we're basically splitting hairs between two of the top, you know, five or six players in the league so far this year. So let's talk a little bit about Doncic in terms of context with some of the other best players in the league and what he's done year over year. Actually, let's start there with the changes he's made in his own game. I think, first of all, Rick Carlisle is one of the league's best two or three coaches. I think that's always been the case. You look at Dallas over the past decade plus, and they're never a bad team. Even when they don't have a good team, they manage to win a respectable number of games. Carlisle is just a fantastic coach. And one of the things they've done this year is Doncic is primarily playing point guard. Last year, he ended up handling the ball a lot, especially after the team traded Dennis Smith Jr. But between Dennis Smith Jr. and Seth Curry and Devin Harris put a lot of point guard for the team last year. This year, Doncic is playing like 80% of his minutes at the point, and he's averaging nearly a triple-double. And it's not the same as like a Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double where it's everybody get out of the way so I can grab these rebounds. And, yes, everything's running through Luka Doncic, and it needs to, but it feels different from a true impact in all facets of the game. And you look at some of the advanced stats, some of the different metrics that would set apart a Westbrook from a couple of years ago with the Doncic from this year. And again, all of this 20 games in, you know, we're just past the quarter pole in the season, or I guess not even technically really there. So tons of grains of salt with all this. We're just talking about the season to this point. And like I said earlier, whatever is the case now doesn't mean it's the case forever. So I get that. I'm not saying that Luka Doncic is better than Russell Westbrook forever or any of that. But what these 20 games, which I think is becoming a decent sample size, tells us is that Doncic can dominate every facet of the game. He's an average-ish defender, and that's fine. I mean, he's not going to dominate on the defensive end of the floor, but he's a good defensive player. I would probably say he's a little bit above average, and he can guard multiple positions. There were a lot of concerns. I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the reason that he slipped to third in the draft, and you know the Hawks wanted to take wanted to have Trae Young and all that stuff. There was some concern about Doncic's lateral quickness and some of the athleticism, which was always a little bit silly. I mean, the guy was dominating at age 17 and 18 in professional basketball overseas, and clearly has an NBA body and an NBA know-how in terms of his basketball IQ. So that was all kind of silly, but he's been just fine on defense in the NBA. The biggest thing that he's changed so far year over year in terms of his production is he's getting to the rim more often. And he's making his shots at the rim at an unbelievable clip, which is actually probably a little bit unsustainable. But to this point, we have to praise him for what he's been able to do. Last year, he shot roughly about 42% of his shots from inside 10 feet. And this year, he's shooting roughly 49% of his shots from inside 10 feet. And almost 25% of those shots are coming at the rim. I mean, a quarter of his shots coming at the rim. That's significant. That's going to make a big difference. By contrast, Andrew Wiggins is now shooting about 28% of his shots at the rim. And that's also really good. His career, it's about where he is for his career, although it's up over the last couple of seasons for Wiggins. For his career, he shot 28.2% of his shots at the rim. This year, Doncic is at 24.7% of his shots at the rim, according to Basketball Reference. And if you just look at the two players, one would assume if you hadn't watched either team and you just looked at their Draft Express profiles, that Wiggins is the one that should be getting to the rim more often and has a superior athleticism and can finish over guys and through guys. And that's not necessarily been the case. Wiggins has been very good this year, and he's shooting 67% at the rim, which is great, and his best in a couple of years. Luke is shooting 75% at the rim so far this season, which is just insane. And I'm not going to say it's not entirely sustainable, but that's going to come down at least a little bit. The only real issue that Luke has had, and it's improved, is his three-point shooting. He's shooting 33.5% from three on 9.6 attempts per game, which is actually a little bit more than Karl Anthony Towns. And the key thing is that's good enough where teams have to respect that he's just suddenly going to shoot from 25 feet. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it. It gives him a little bit of an advantage in terms of teams wanting to play up a little bit on him. I think, and truthfully, I haven't watched enough Mavs games this year to know for sure, but I think the way that the Wolves, that the Wolves and other teams should defend Doncic would be to give him a little bit of that cushion to try and guard against the drive, because that's where he is most dangerous, and then play up on him in key moments where he is liable to shoot a deep three. If he wants to shoot from 25 feet in the first quarter, I think you let him. I mean, he makes one out of every three. But late in the game, obviously you play that a little bit differently, but you have to play the drive. You have to play that he's likely to go to the rim and do damage either at the rim or distributing to his teammates. Which segues into my other point about the Mavs as a whole. I mentioned that they don't really have a second star, which is absolutely true, and I think at some point that could end up hurting them. The Mavs do have, what they do have is basically everybody in their rotation can shoot threes at above league average, and Timberwolves fans should absolutely be jealous of that, given what they've had to watch so far this season in terms of the Wolves' long-range shooting. Basically, nobody on the Mavs roster is shooting under league average from three-point range. I mean, Luka Doncic is right there. He's a hair below. And then Dorian Finney-Smith is shooting just 32%. And Jalen Brunson, who is their main backup point guard, is shooting a little over 26% from three. So both of those guys are struggling along with Doncic in terms of overall three-point shooting percentage. But everybody else in that rotation on that team is shooting above league average from beyond three-point range. It's crazy. Justin Jackson is shooting. He's one of the guys at the fringe of the rotation. He's only playing 13 minutes a game, but he's shooting 45% from three. Seth Curry, of course, is shooting 40.3%. Maxi Kleber is shooting 37%. Dwight Powell, 36%. Tim Hardaway, DeLon Wright, Kristaps Porzingis is only shooting 35%, but that's going to come up. Everybody's shooting above league average. Compare that to the Timberwolves. And while the Wolves are shooting nearly as many three-pointers per game as the Mavs, they've only got, what, four guys who are above league average. Kata Bates-Diop is too small of a sample size to count at this point, but he's shooting 50% in eight games. And then obviously Towns, Robert Covington, and Jake Layman are both a hair over 35%. Wiggins is at 34%, 34.3, and nobody else is above 33% on this team. You've got rotation guys, Jarrett Culver, Jeff Teague, Josh Okogie, Shabazz Napier in only seven games, Trevion Graham, but those guys are all shooting below 30% from beyond the arc. And each of these teams gets their shots up. The Wolves are fourth in the league in three-point attempts per game. The Mavs are second. Mavs are eighth in three-point shooting percentage. The Wolves are 27th in the entire league in three-point shooting percentage. So basically what the Mavs offense needs to consist of, and what it does pretty much consist of, is Luka Doncic going to the rim and either scoring or finding open shooters. And that's how you have Luka Doncic averaging, what, like 9.3 assists or something per game, 9.4 assists per game, and over 30 points a game. And his two-point shooting percentage is good enough that he's shooting two-pointers at almost 62%, and that's because he's shooting at the rim at 75%, and that allows him the space to knock down open threes at a one out of every three, and that's enough. That's good enough for him to be extremely dangerous, and you got to figure at some point he's going to improve that three-point shooting stroke as well, and then he'll go from virtually unstoppable to quite literally unstoppable, would be the concern for opposing teams as Doncic continues in his career. He's been insane so far this year. So next up, we'll talk a little bit more about the Wolves and also about how this game might play out and what each team is going to try and do to slow the other team down and to gain an advantage. Obviously, the Wolves have an extremely tall task in trying to beat the Mavs on the road. The Mavs are 14-6. They just stopped the Lakers' 10-game winning streak, and Luka Doncic is unbelievable, as we've covered pretty extensively. But it's especially difficult for the Timberwolves themselves because they have struggled so mightily in stopping primary ball handlers on the other team. A big part of that is the point guard defense for the Wolves, but they've been able to solve it to some extent by adjusting who's guarding ball handlers. I'm hoping, really hoping, that in this game, it's not Trevion Graham that is the primary person assigned to guarding Luka Doncic. Graham has been okay on defense, but I think the perception has been a little bit more positive than the reality in terms of his defense. Most notably recently, there was Dylan Brooks. Actually, both times the Wolves played Memphis, Graham really struggled to stop Dylan Brooks. And the defense itself maybe wasn't terrible. Brooks made some tough shots. But overall, if you look at the Wolves' track record this season, or you look at each game individually, Graham has not been as good in one-on-one defensive situations as Josh Okogie or even as Robert Covington. I think Covington's best use as like on a secondary ball handler on the team's second best offensive player, and then also a little bit as a free safety, so he's able to play off a little bit. And Covington's really good at getting in the way, taking charges, getting strip steals, getting blocks on unsuspecting drives to the rim. So I think the Wolves' best play would be to potentially even start Josh Okogie alongside Jarrett Culver and Andrew Wiggins and task Okogie with guarding Doncic, have Graham come off the bench to spell him, and either have, I don't know that I would have Jarrett Culver guard Doncic. I think I would probably stick with Okogie as the primary defender and then have Covington and maybe Trevion Graham be the secondary defenders in guarding Doncic, and use Andrew Wiggins and Jarrett Culver's length in passing lanes, which has basically been the Wolves' defensive strategy so far this season. I just personally would count on Josh Okogie in this one more than I would count on Trevion Graham. Also, Okogie gives you at least a little bit more on offense in terms of being able to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim sometimes, even though it's usually an adventure, but also having an impact in transition. That's another area where the Wolves can get out and have a chance in this game. The Wolves are still a top five team in pace. I think they're fourth in pace in the league. The Mavs are a little bit slower. They're in the bottom 10. They like to slow it down and have Doncic operate with guys on the perimeter. And as I mentioned before, just try and get to the rim. And the Mavs have the best offensive rating in the league. There's a reason they're 14-6. Their defense is fine, but it's primarily due to their dynamic offense. So the Wolves need to try and get the Mavs out of their game by speeding the game up. Okogie does that for you. He brings the defense to guard Doncic, he helps you speed the game up and is dangerous in transition and forces the Mavs to get out and run when they would much rather just rebound five and slow the game down. Which leads to my next point, which is rebounding. The Mavs are a good rebounding team, and they basically do rebound five. Everybody rebounds their position. They don't have a dominant big man, but Maxi Kleber and Dwight Powell do a good job. They essentially split the minutes at center almost evenly, and each of those guys rebounds well enough alongside some wings that do a good job of rebounding. Kristaps Porzingis is a solid rebounder, and then the guys on the wing that bring a lot to the table in that category are Dorian Finney-Smith especially. But even their guards rebound the ball fairly well. DeLon Wright, Justin Jackson, those guys do well enough to hold their own and get the Mavs some of those extra possessions per game. So the Wolves need to rebound well, and they need to play fast if they're going to win this game. And they're not going to stop Luka Doncic, but to just slow him down, make some of his kickout passes a little more difficult, get in the passing lanes, know what it is he's trying to do, will be really important. And then lastly, and this is something that could be said on any given night, but Karl-Anthony Towns needs to do his absolute best to stay out of foul trouble. It's kind of cropped up a little bit more lately after he had been doing such a good job early in the season. With Doncic going to the rim as often as he does, Towns just needs to pick his spots and be really careful about where and when he's stepping in to try and stop Doncic at the rim. For as much as Doncic goes to the basket, you'd actually expect he shoots even more free throws per game, but he shoots about 9.5 per game, and he's 82% once he gets there. So the focus should be just on tough perimeter, ball pressure from Okogie. Everybody stays home on their guys and is expecting kickouts and then some help as he goes to the rim, but careful help, not selling out, getting into foul trouble and leaving open shooters on the perimeter. Cause as I mentioned before, basically everyone on this Mavs team can hit an open shot. So if I was going to boil this game down to just a few keys, I would say it's get out in transition, speed up the pace, keep Okogie and Doncic for as much as you can in this game, which, by the way, Okogie's not on the injury report with his knee issue, so he should be good to go in this one unless it crops up, in pregame or in shoot-around or something. And then also rebound your positions. And get out in transition. And the Wolves should have a shot in this one. They've been good on the road, as has been well documented. At this point, I think they're 7-2 on the road, which is crazy, and also tells you just how bad they've been at home. So, yep, 7-2 on the road so far this year. The line for this game is Dallas -4. It's going to be real tough for the Wolves to win. My prediction would be that they're not able to win, and I don't even know that they get within that point spread. But if they're going to give themselves a chance, it's going to be in transition. Pretty much that's going to be the key to this one. After the Wolves play in Dallas, they have another couple days off before really heading out west for the first true West Coast swing of the season. They have Oklahoma City on Friday, and then over the weekend, the LA Lakers and Phoenix Suns on back-to-back nights, Sunday and Monday. So this is the start of a tough four-game road trip with two of the four teams that are going to be playoff teams in the Mavs and the Lakers, and then two that are on the fringes that are important for the Wolves to stay ahead of in the Thunder and the Suns. They've already lost once to Phoenix. So a huge road trip for the Wolves, to be sure. All right, that's all we have for you today. We'll be back tomorrow to talk a little bit more about the game itself and hopefully the Wolves slowing down Luka Doncic a little bit. But it should be a fun game. Good for Wolves fans to get a chance to see Doncic for the first time this season. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.